American Workers Radio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, you can tune in from anywhere in the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. That's on Wednesdays. However, you can go to that same site, AmericanWorkersRadio.com, anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you will be able to click on the latest edition by going to Listen to Recent Broadcasts. Listen Live is today at 11, and of course, the 24-hour-a-day rebroadcasts are right there on the front page as well. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do some crazy things today, but I think it's good that we say a special thank you to all of the radio broadcasters that air my commentaries on their Saturday and Sunday broadcasts in many states. We have about 21 places now that are doing that. They take our commentary from today. They put, you know, their own side to it. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, they do the actual commentary that I send out to the station. I want to say a special thank you to them and wish all of them a very wonderful holiday. Also, I'd like to note to the people that I meet in my travels who tell me they tune in on Wednesday and give me their various opinions and tell me what's happening in their area, in the stores where they shop. And of course, today I'm going to ask some of our panel members some of the questions that were suggested. And let's see what the reaction of the panel will be. Thanks, first of all, to Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we all know, life has many changes to it. Every day we wake up, we have to remember that yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, so we have to live today and be the best that we can do. And I'd like to note that what we decide to do at any given time is something that will make the future. And we have to always look out for what's for the best interest of our family, our friends, our neighbors, and of course, for our fellow Americans. And in this case, we're talking about employment opportunities that are very important to working age and able-bodied people. Many people, just as long as they're okay, they're not concerned about the next guy. Well, on American Workers Radio, we are concerned about everybody in the USA, especially those that could and should have jobs and be out there and able to be on their own and independent. Working in human services, I have asked people to be people of action, not just words. Anyone can tell you something, but if you're a person of action, your words will be much more meaningful. And that's very true when it comes to assisting family members in need. Maybe you have an age-related disability or something that you need some experience with. You want to have someone who's experienced to help you at a special time of need. We need experienced workers to be in the field so that they can compete with people from all over the world who are sending us products. All you have to do is look at the labels on the products and you'll see the success of foreign countries as we in America need to change what we do. But on this last day of March, I want to ask our panel members some of their feelings. And some of these ideas come from listeners who write to me. They come from people that stop me in my travels. And I'm going to start off today with Mark. who is marking the 11th anniversary of the founding of the Made in America store, and we'll ask him to tell us about that as well. But Mark, I want to ask you the first question. Are you satisfied with the way Jobs for Americans have been handled in the last 25 to 30 years?
Yeah, good morning, Mike, Rich, I owe you a few calls, and Larkin and Henry. You know, Mike, that's a question. No, I don't see, you know, there's two separate worlds a lot of times to me. You know, I'm in the blue-collar world, and there's a separate, but the government, a whole different world, and they don't really connect and relate. There's so many disconnects that just aren't addressed and taken care of. A lot of lip service. But, you know, there's so many disconnects, Mike, where they could do so much more, you know, for the workers, for the businesses, than they do. And I don't see that getting done. So it always comes back to we the people, I think, Mike, you know, that need to get more involved. And as you and we always said, elect qualified officials. Larkin always said, you know, politics start local and our local. A lot going on. I had an interesting comment from a guy this morning that said, you know, I'm seriously thinking of leaving this country to Mexico for a month and then come in illegal and I'd get everything free. I said, I'm going to use it on my radio if you don't mind.
Oh, very good.
You know, so, you know, that's going on. And, Mike, I do want to talk about, you know, the 11 years, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, we've got a lot going on. I recorded my other show, you know, yesterday, but which this Saturday is our 11-year anniversary, guys, and it falls between Good Friday and Easter, like it did 11 years ago on April 3rd, 2010. And, you know, if we go back April 3rd, 2010, you know, me and Rob went through a lot of bullet points and things that happened, you know, since that day yesterday. And it reminds me, so we opened, we had lost a major account 2008 to China, $3 to $4 million account, half our business sales. We laid off 40 people of the 70 by the time, you know, went from 2008 to 2010. We were in bad shape. We had closed two of the four plants I had. We could still call General Welding Plant 1 and Plant 4 is in Rochester, but we lost Plant 2 and 3. And we go back to that day, we opened this store and everybody thought I was crazy, but we only had 50 products and we laughed. That day ended up being 80 degrees, which rarely happens in Buffalo, on an April 3rd. 600, 800 people showed up, which was amazing, for, I always joked, a hot dog giveaway. And then I had to, you know, we had just finished opening the store and, the paint was still wet. We didn't sleep for 2 days, my team. We didn't really know what we were doing. They wanted a soft opening. I didn't even know what that was. I said, no, we're opening Saturday between Good Friday and Easter. And it's funny, Fox and Friends had called and I was flying down. We had the day went wonderful, unbelievable, just packed with people, a lot of thank yous for what you're doing. And then I flew down to Fox and Friends that night, ended up in New York City with the, you know, my shirt Made in America because China's a long drive to work on. And then, you know, I was on Fox and Friends Easter morning. And, you know, we did the Yomari Shimbung, largest newspaper printed, Russia TV One, Korean KBS. We went through the interviews yesterday. But, you know, we're at 600-700 now, you know, and people, how'd you get the interviews? Well, they asked. But if you fast forward, we're probably in a worse shape, unfortunately, but the people are waking up because of the China flu pandemic. They're really realizing. So, you know, back then we thought, boy, if we pull off our job, you know, America, we won't have a job. We won't have a store because everybody'd sell Made in America. And I remembered our first interview. You called me. I was in our old store parking lot. And you had asked me to be on. I think Sue set it up, Mike. And I remember Rich was on, and Rich and me, it was funny. Rich was, he was patriotic, but he didn't really think business-wise as patriotic. You know, everybody can't be as patriotic as I was. And, boy, Rich, we came a long way since that day. And I know you have, and, you know, we have with the mission. But you go back, and, you know, then all of a sudden buses come. We passed 1,000 buses in 11 years. We're home base for Honor Flight. Ricky Lee popped on our show yesterday, called in, sung a little, and just told us about his life. He lost all his shows last year. You talk about a pandemic hurting somebody. Mm-hmm. These country singers, their roadies, to whoever, the large ones, small ones, they had to adjust. And that's why I said we, in the last year, we took 20 years of change and shoved it into one. So last year was like, you know, 20 years of change in 1 year. We as entrepreneurs, and we have to adjust, but holy cow, last year it's become daily and hourly. But we accomplished a lot, Mike. We're proud of that, you know, over the 11 years, but it's never been an R&D thing. It's a common sense thing. Being up to 10,000 products now is impressive from the 50. We're supporting over 500 privately owned vendors. You know, we've been on radio, Mike, probably 6-7 years together. So, you know, hats off to us for sticking with the mission and being consistent, educating and raising awareness for, with the radio show and all we do. And Made in America's an honor. My team is unbelievable, though. I go back through my team because there's a handful here that just have care and believe in our loyal like you've never seen. And you can't buy that. You know, you can't buy. They're not going to work for free, but you can't buy. They're not here for the money. They're here because they believe. And that's what's lost in America, too. You need people that believe, they care, and they're loyal. And that is a lost trait. So a lot going on, Mike.
You are so right. That is a lost trait. And, you know, Mark, no one better has witnessed, especially the most recent years, of how things have changed in the United States of America. As you, right. You drive around and you see those empty manufacturing facilities, all these industries. And when I say manufacturing, I mean people making the products, people who are in the management positions, buying the products, the bookkeepers, the timekeepers, the people who are ordering the supplies. There are numerous jobs that have just been picked up and moved overseas. And for at least 30 years, no one in Washington that I can say, that I can name today, really made a big to-do out of it, especially, say, 35 years ago. It was always that, oh, we live in a free market economy nonsense. When they would tell me that 21 years ago when I started the statement, they said, well, you know, you're not going with the flow of America. You're going with your own flow. I said, hey, I'm going working for the idea of people being able to support themselves. It doesn't make sense for somebody to say, well, I have to go on unemployment, I have to go on welfare, I have to go on all these federal programs, when those jobs that could have helped those people are now located elsewhere instead of in this United States of America. You know, in some areas, when you go into food, furniture, sneakers, everything, if just 50% of those products were made in America, as they should be, just 50%, we would have 30 million additional jobs right here in this country, especially today with all the new technology that they are doing. How is it that people in foreign countries have all this new technology right at their fingertips, and our people, they're waiting in unemployment lines?
Yeah, and a couple things, Mike. I hear, you know, a lot of people. I just talked to a person I just did an interview, and you know, a lot of these large corporations, I'm smaller family, you know, type business. I'm 100% owner, but still we run like a family. We care about our employees, they're human beings. But I just talked to two people this week with larger corporations, and I won't name the corporations, but the employees are numbers. You know, they're truly a number.
Right.
You know, they're not by name, and it's a number. And I was interviewing in person, and he's not sure if he's coming over, but he does like that we're more personable and my door is always open. And he said, we're just truly a number. And then another large company, Space and Defense, and I won't get into, that was taken over by a new CEO who really just believes in the dollar and driving prices down, but none of the camaraderie and the, you know, one team, one goal, it's our company, we make a good product. So that starts to break down everything, too, because if they don't believe in the employers, if you're not all one team, and if you're not working to make the best product and it becomes a mission within inside your company, you got a problem. And I see this just with a couple interviews I did this week where these larger corporations just treating people like numbers is a mistake.
It is. It is. You know, and the thing that drives me insane is when I go to the stores and I look at the price of an American-made product, which is few and far between in many selections. But when I look at the price of the American-made and I look at the prices of all of the foreign-made stuff, it's the same. It's maybe 30, 50, 75 cents difference. But I think to myself, all those people that could be doing this are out of a job. All they do is bring the container. Now, we had that ship stuck in the Suez Canal, and they said that 90% of those products were on their way from foreign countries to the United States. And in many stores, they felt, you know, the pressure, especially around this holiday season. You said, wow, isn't that unbelievable? And I said, well, this is just another indication of what we have been going through in this country, and the reason is why. Mark, my second part of the question before I move on is I'm going to ask you, who's responsible for all the loss of businesses and less jobs for Americans during the last 30 years?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. You know, we all play a part in it. You know, everybody wanted more stuff or crap in their house. People wanted their portfolios to go up. It was all driven by money, and people tried to make, you know, change but with investments. But, you know, politicians in the end game, they let it happen. I just think of Bob Chesbrough from Wigwam Socks when you say that, because they gave away his textile industry on deals that played a part in his life. And he's always told me that, you know, they gave away things to other countries that didn't mean much to our government, but meant a lot to Bob Chesbrough and his 300 employees and all the other textile and clothing industry, you know, that's in this country. We only have two vertical mills left that make thread to garment in the United States of America. It's sad. So I think these big deals that were given away with, you know, being in a different world, they're not thinking of that common man in that blue-collar, middle-class area, Mike. It was a big mistake. And, you know, they always took their eye off the ball. They weren't thinking that this was going to be a cultural change, you know. I mean, we had a lot happen in 40 years, and it broke down so much. It was just, you know, sending stuff overseas so you could get cheaper product. But like you said, they didn't pass it on as much to the consumer. They kept a lot of it, and it grew the portfolios for a lot of people. Again, if money's your God, there's a problem.
It was the money is the God. You know, you mentioned New York. You know, I've been to New York so many times on a pretty regular basis, not in the last year because of the pandemic. But as I went around to the various places, you could see the change. There was more poor people out. You could see the difference of what it should and not be like in this country. Poverty should not be all over the streets.
Yeah, me and Curtis agreed that people need a purpose. It's more than just a job. They need a job.
They need it.
Just give it out money.
Yes.
They don't have that purpose.
They need a livelihood to feel good about themselves. I'm going to turn now to Larkin Conley, who would be able to give us some good feedback. Larkin, are you satisfied with the way jobs for Americans have been handled in the last 25, 30 years?
Probably not. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, listeners. I'm going to answer these questions, but I'm going to only answer them on one condition, and that is you don't ask me again. For 9 years, we have been filleting, frying, chopping the head off, hanging an effigy, anybody that we could think of who was responsible, everybody was responsible. And I'm not happy of the way. But we've ruined our supply chain. Mm-hmm. I can't buy a toaster right now if I wanted to pay $10 more for the toaster. I can't buy one.
Or $1,000 if you wanted to pay $1,000.
Well, it doesn't make any difference, Michael. This program needs to take an entirely new direction and talk about results. We need to talk to Scott at the manufacturers. We need to start coming up with solutions. I'm so tired of talking about who's to blame for this. Everybody is. Walmart's to blame because their senior executives were charged with the chore of making money for Walmart. And buying cheaper products is what Walmart actually built their name on.
Well, Larkin, let me ask you the second part of the question. Who's responsible for the last 25 years?
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, but Mark, Larkin,
who cares?
The purpose is this. If it went 2 years, maybe 5 years, we could say, well, it just happened. But we're talking 30, 35 years. We're talking I'm talking to business people who don't want to come on or don't want to be mentioned because they're dealing with their suppliers, and half of the products that they have in their system to make what they're making and put an American-made label on it is coming from foreign countries and no longer from America. How is that even good? There's nobody responsible. There's nobody been responsible for any of it. No person takes responsibility. And this is the problem. If I asked you, Larkin, in the last 30 years, can you identify any person in the hierarchy in Washington that has led the bandwagon to get some change in America that we'll get our industries back and we'll get our people back to having skills?
I don't think we even understand what getting industries back means. I don't think we understand the severity of the problem. I think we just spend an hour every Wednesday talking about who's to blame, and it's of no consequence.
Yeah, but Larkin, it's not our job to do that. But who is being paid on a regular basis to do this job that we have to call upon, and they won't answer anymore, to call upon to tell us what are they going to do? America's changed to the point.
Michael.
America's changed to the point. We don't have any jobs for the people here, yet our southern border is open to bring in more people to take up our housing dollars, our education dollars, our security dollars, and no one's saying a word. Everybody's saying, well, it's good. It's fine.
Well,
no one's talking about the real bread and butter issues.
So if what you're saying to me is that we expect Congress to fix this problem, then you and I politically are a million miles.
No, we expect the people to do their job, speak up, and don't spend their money. Every customer, like myself. Myself, number one.
Michael, you're living, you know, you get a $1,400 stimulus check. Are you going to run across the street and buy a sweater for $9.99 that was woven in Guatemala at Target or Walmart? Or are you going to go to some quiet shop and buy a sweater for $195? Let's be realistic.
Larkin.
Let's be realistic, and that's the truth. It's not the sweaters are $3 apart from each other. I'll flip and guarantee you that's wrong. So, you know.
But the problem, the problem as I see it, Larkin, is we have to go after the people being paid to do a job to do their job. We're listening to them talk about nonsense. They are elected by the people in their states and in their localities to go and be a body of leaders. I don't hear one of them speaking about anything that concerns the American people. I got a call this morning.
Are you expecting some senator or some congressman to propose a law that says we can't buy anything from China?
No, I'm not. But I'm expecting a congressman and a senator to expand all of the benefits to companies that remain in America and expand their operations. That's what I'm expecting. All this development and all of these dollars that are given for all this to go overseas. In all the stimulus bills, a lot of the money goes to foreign countries. This is supposed to be a stimulus for America, not for foreign countries.
Where are we sending? I didn't get that last remark. We're actually sending money to foreign countries.
Yes, Larkin.
As a part of our own stimulus package.
Yes, last week you gave us a list of countries that were getting money from the stimulus check, from the stimulus payment.
No, that's foreign aid.
Foreign aid. That's the same thing. That's the same thing. A lot of that money is unidentified what they're doing, but it's in our stimulus bill. It's in the bill that was signed by the president. That's foreign aid within that
Biden,
bill.
Biden has suggested another $750 million, I think. I don't know whether it was million or billion because I get so lost with these numbers anyway. But he is suggesting another $750 million in foreign aid to the countries that are where the people are running away from the countries. So Biden is suggesting nation building. I thought that was a business that we got out of a long time ago, but that's what he's suggesting on top of the $500 billion that we already send to these countries from our southern border down through Panama. That, you know, Mexico gets $440 million from us just in one sitting.
But why is that? Where are they getting $440?
$440 million.
I know. Why would they get $440 if it's not in a proposal that the American people know about, and it's not in a proposal that the American people should be calling their congressmen and senators to say, support it. We're all behind it.
Because nobody, and I mean nobody, knows what USAID does. Nobody knows. I mean, they're all over the world in every country, supposedly trying to figure out how they can prop them. I don't know what they're doing, but all I'm saying is, Michael, we have to start talking about a fix.
We just
have to pick one industry and say, like, the government's maybe going to come up with some low interest loans that'll allow people to go out and buy looms, but you're still going to pay these people at the bare minimum $15 an hour to make a sweater.
That's true. Larkin, you're 100% right. However,
you're facing China, who's paying 90 cents a day.
Right. Larkin, here is the problem that are going, because through the agency, people call me and ask me if I have any people that want to have jobs. Very interesting. And I say, well, I thought that so-and-so was working there. They said, well, they're staying home to take care of their mother while they're getting the additional unemployment till September. And they're not going to be back on the job. Now, when I heard that, I said, well, why don't you call your congressman and let them know that? And they said, well, they're not going to answer the phone. It's always these excuses why nobody wants to get involved. But the workers will sit home because they'll get the unemployment and they'll get that extra bonus unemployment. And nobody wants to work. So this is another thing. If we wanted to make a major change, if we wanted to go out and say, let's get the Small Business Administration to help speak up to the Congress people. No, it doesn't work like that way anymore. It was that way 30, 40 years ago, but it's not that way anymore. You wait your turn at the door after the Congress is deciding all of these other issues. And now with the 50-50 balance, it's going to be very difficult. Someone called me, Larkin.
Go ahead.
Somebody called me this morning to ask me, why is there such a difficulty with a person having an ID? And I said, well, I don't see any problem with that. I said, working in human services, everything that I do, a person has to have an ID with them. God forbid a person falls on a street, they have to have an ID so that someone would know who they are and take them to the hospital, be able to contact some family member or at least know where they live. When I go on a train, I have to present my ID to the conductor. Otherwise, I don't get a ticket wherever I'm going. And if you go to a place and they have a credit card, They a lot of times, if you're in a new store, they want to see your ID to make sure the credit card matches you. We don't want people to have IDs for voting and all this other nonsense. But none of these people in the last year have discussed what are we going to do to make sure that an American business can get loans to expand their line of business or open a new business in America. And we've been pleading with our listeners and our supporters to go out and buy American made. And many of them tell me, Michael, it's very difficult. Yeah. Political people, they get elected and you don't see them until 6 months before the next election. They're always too busy working for your good in Washington, but you never see them.
Larkin, you make a good point to, we're always bringing up what happened over 40 years, and I'm with you go forward. So a fix, like if Made in America, say you're a smaller business, and I'm a 100% Made in America product, so everybody can't be that, but we'd like 50-50, which is the Federal Trade Commission world. But say you as a business choose to buy more Made in America product, we'd like to see an incentive for that through tax relief, maybe. Hey, if you showed how much Made in America products, you get so much off your taxes, local, state, or federal. If you were a business that you're building a business here and you're going to manufacture, you want more tax relief. You want an incentive if there's any stimulus. You want help. But you're going to make the choice as the business owner. You're going to tell them and make a commitment that, no, I'm going to support America more, support jobs and create jobs more, correct? I mean, that would be a fix if there's an incentive system made for selling America.
Can I interject a point? Mark Larkin, yep. Can I interject a point here?
Sure. Rich, if you'll just let me tell you,
please
ask Larkin. You how's the weather in Florida? Because I happen to be sitting in the Greenpoint section of Brooklyn, New York. Right now.
Larkin. It's terrible here. It's only in the 70s, sunny. Do me a favor though, Larkin. While you're in Brooklyn, please let all those Democrats around you know that they're not welcome in Florida. And if they show up here, we're going to make sure to outnumber them in the polls long term.
No, wait. Before you
tell them to fix this, Larkin. Tell them to fix their own city before they bring their malignancy here to Florida.
But Rich, before you go and ask the question, I want to just say one thing to Mark. Mark, if you wanted to expand your business operations, say tomorrow, is there an office? Is there an elected official, an appointed official, that you can go there to speak about that too?
Mike, not as much as a professional, politician, but there's ECIDA, Erie County Industrial Development Association. They may listen to you. There's the RDA, the IDA, and I've used them all. But not as an elected official, technically. When they're running, for election, they're around maybe, but otherwise
not. But,
really.
Mark, how much of that help would come from this office located in your community?
That depends on what you're asking, but they don't give out money or they give a tax resolution sometimes. So that, you have to fight, but there's a ton of paperwork that scares people away, and there's a lot of, payment to have that happen. You got to pay fees, and, there's always a tax or a fee.
Well, let me just tell you how it's happening now in the United States and has been this way for 30 years. Foreign business send representatives to America's businesses and say, put it very briefly, why would you want to have this business located in this country have to pay all these people benefits, pay taxes on their salaries and all, when we can produce it for you in this foreign country or that foreign country, and you will get a 40% profit. It'll arrive on your shipping dock ready to ship. Now, we have foreign business managers, business agents doing that, and they do it today. I'd love to get them on the show. They won't come because to them, they're doing a job for the country that they're representing and the businesses that are in foreign countries. Do we have such a representative in the United States of America? going to the businesses right now and saying to them, we are going to give you this type of help because we're working on infrastructure or whatever. We're going to give you this kind of help to make sure that your roads to your business and all are all number one, and we're going to help you in some ways with taxes that the first 5 years of your existence and your job expanding experience will give you the reason to stay in America and not relocate foreign. Is there anybody like that?
No.
Send them to me. I'm begging for them to come.
I think I died and went upstairs. Yeah, no.
I want to see that person. Larkin, do you know anybody like that? Send them to me. I'm waiting.
We interrupted Rich for this bitch, our latest bitch, which is there's somebody out on the street. So, Rich, you had a point you wanted to make before I interrupted you.
Thank you. That's okay, Larkin. Thank you. But please, I do ask that you let all of them know in Brooklyn, fix their own state and city before coming down here to Florida. And if they do come here, we will outnumber, overwhelm, and overtake them. So I just wanted to make that point. So thanks for letting me know. And thanks for dropping those bombs, Larkin, because all that ultimately matters is what one does. You know, what one says is important in certain contexts. Leaders are always honest, Mark, with their people. But part of that honesty with their people is they'll never ask their people to do something that they themselves are not willing to do. And Mark, look, I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds saying this here, but I bet, Mark, that over the last, I don't know, let's call it 3 to 6 months, you've probably purchased for your inventory thousands of products, right? To increasing. I know you have 10,000 products always adding, but to replenish that inventory, you've probably purchased thousands of products, right? To replenish,
yes.
I would say, over the last three. Okay. So what Mark Andel has done, so someone said to Mark, well, Mark, that sounds very interesting, Mark, about Made in America. What exactly have you done? Well, I have a business for 10 years, 10,000 products, and in the last 6 months, I've purchased thousands of Made in America goods. What else you got for me? So here's my bomb dropping for everybody. My bomb dropping for everyone, Larkin, is, and no one has to answer this on the show. If you want to, fine. But just as a future bomb drop, because I might ask this question every week. What is it that you bought last week in your household that was made in America? What did you buy? I could tell you what I bought. I have a whiteboard that I put on my wall, Mark. I'm sorry I couldn't get it from you.
Yeah,
you know, you didn't
right.
have, you know. But I bought a Made in America whiteboard. Some of the stupid markers that came with it weren't made here, but the whiteboard's made here. So I write my propaganda on my whiteboard every day, and I say, here's my propaganda on my Made in America whiteboard. So I bought that last week. The prior week, I bought a couple of greeting cards. The prior week of that, I bought some... I don't know, some kind of stupid duster that, again, Mark, I checked your site. The fact that, Mark, that you aren't a multimillionaire with 50 stores and phone calls and web orders crashing your servers shows me that most of the American people, Larkin, don't care about Made in America. They don't care.
Because
Larkin hit on something. When they got, most people, when they got their stimulus checks, fewer than 1% of the country said, what's this going to cost me in the long term? What they did was they started to immediately think, Mark, about how am I going to take this newfound printed money and pursue my pleasures? Because the Homo sapiens species is conditioned and trained to pursue pleasure. So that's why they won't go and spend, Larkin, $120, because spending $120 compared to $19 is painful. Humans want to avoid pain. But the reality, Mark, and this is the lesson that Mark has really learned, I'm learning it right now in my company, successful people are not driven, Mark, by the pursuit of pleasure. They are driven by the avoidance of pain. Because I seem to recall, Mark, when you were asked in the Made in America film, forgive me, I don't, if I'm getting the question wrong, but the question was, what if you don't succeed? Mark's answer was, failure is not an option. You remember that, Mark?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I love
Mark
and that
sit
every
there
day.
And say, oh, don't worry about it. We got it in the bag. I'll be a multimillionaire in 3 years. You know, it's all good. You know, Mark wasn't sitting in that truck pursuing pleasure. Mark gave an answer that said we need to avoid the pain of what happened. So my question is very simple. What did everyone buy last week in their home? That was Made in America. And if you didn't buy anything made in America, then, Larkin, no one has a right to bitch and moan. Well, I guess you have a right, but I have a right also to turn up my music to level 11 and not listen to you.
That's well said,
Richard. All that matters is what somebody does, Mark. That's it. Everything else is bullshit. All that matters is what you do. That's it. And to answer your question, Michael, about finding a guy who may have, who at least was a little different for the better, he was just ousted for the near-octogenarian gerontocrat who doesn't even know where he is half the time. So he's down here in West Palm Beach, in case you want to get in touch with him.
Yeah. No, I'm Rich, this is good conversation. And I'm mentioning this because last week I had a wonderful, last Saturday, in fact, I had a wonderful conversation with a few listeners, and they said the same thing. You know, I feel very embarrassed. I feel very embarrassed because the great job that I had, and it was a great job, in purchasing and executing the products to be shipped around is no longer there. And they said, told me that it's now to such a science, and I could see that with the Suez Canal deal. It's a science. When a container ship comes in, every container is not opened at the port as it was one time and then, you know, fixed on different trucks to go to different places. It's now designated to one store or one place, Larkin's House. Nothing in that container is touched. So all the people at the docks that used to have jobs no longer have those jobs because they've become so sophisticated that you get the full container and it's all for your company. There's no middlemen whatsoever.
Well, and Michael, one last point, and Mark, and one other request, if you don't mind, after you tell those Brooklyn, New York Democrats to fix their own city before bringing their malignancy down here to Florida, which, again, if they do, we will outnumber, overtake, and overwhelm them. Can you ask all those Biden-voting New York Democrats what they think about this new surge? I thought that, Mark, I thought the near-octogenarian gerontocrat was elected to make the virus go poof. What happened? Oh, and one other point that I have to make as a mention. Thank you. Mark, what you said in the beginning, you are 100% correct. Before coming on this show, before meeting you, talking with all of us here, yeah, once in a while I check labels. Not a lot, though. I'm the first to admit it. And I'm also not the guy who buys every product made in the U.S. Doesn't happen because not every product is made here. But, Mark, you know something? Whenever I make a purchase right now that has to do with my personal life, I will always check if it's made in America. And For business, it's a little – unfortunately, you know, my excuse is it's a little more difficult because I'm in a world – that is almost predominantly solely foreign. But my clients are here, but when it comes to what I buy personally, I always check labels now, Mark, because
I'm
a labels obsessive.
Now, Rich, let me ask you a question.
Well, thank you, Mark.
The items that you're saying mainly made foreign that you're working with, are any of them able to be made in America again at any point?
Sure, they could be. Over time, they could be, but why won't they be? Because Larkin just said it, $120 versus $19.
And, Rich, I want to bring up, you know, when you did change, and I bring that up, but you showed that you can change once you got educated, learn more about it.
Absolutely.
Well, like where we're at, you're proof that you can change, and what Larkin and you and Mike, what we're talking about, people have to have the want. People have to slow down. Can't just be about saving money. They got to want longevity. They got to want a quality product. They got to look. A lot of things aren't made here, but we can, by demanding more Made in America products, make it happen. And I'm proof. I started with 50 products. We got 10,000. Things are changing all the time. We found rugs this week. I mean, we got things coming left and right. So the change is on, slow, but way more than it was before the pandemic, I'll tell you that.
You know, another thing that I wanted to bring up today is, you know, every time you turn on the TV, you see there's some kind of a rally for this and rally for that. Why aren't there any rallies organized by community leaders, business leaders, to get people on the street to talk about getting industries back, expanding industries, get some public attention to it? This is
because
they're selling
free. They're giving handouts. You
right.
know, they're ruining the culture.
Mark, how are you going to right?
earn a
That's
living?
That's exactly correct.
You're going to compete with a family of four. Last week, Larkin, or over the last couple of weeks, a family of four woke up, went to their bank account, and saw $5,600, depending on the ages of their children.
Free gets your vote, Rich.
$5,600 in their bank account. Imagine walking outside your house today and found $5,600 right in front of you.
Rich, I didn't get that stimulus.
It's the first thought someone's going to have, wow, look at that $5,600 today. I think I'm going to work really hard to avoid pain. Said no member of the Homo sapiens species ever.
And here's the problem, guys. They extended the $300 till September 6th, which they'll extend again. So you're part-time.
Right.
You made maybe $110 a week at the Made in America store. You know, you're looking at your friends getting, you know, $100 unemployment plus $300, $400. And you go, huh, maybe I'll get laid off. Maybe I won't come in. Maybe I'll get fired. Because COVID, the China flu, is an excuse for everything. You can't block their unemployment. So you try to find a worker now to work part-time and not collect the $300. And I said to my ops manager, I said, well, we don't want that person that's just looking for that $300 that ends in September, which they'll extend and extend and extend. You thought it was hard to find workers before this pandemic? Now they're given free, and it doesn't work.
We're talking about all the people coming through the back door of America. President Trump, I must give him some very good credit. He stopped a lot of this during his term. I mean, we at least brought attention to the fact that we cannot bring all these illegal people into the country, because years ago when the companies were inviting immigrants to come, they had a job to come to. Now the immigrants are just coming over the border. They have no jobs, so that means everything is on government. And yet nobody's talking about it. And one president and one group of people in Washington agrees with it, and yet there's no solution. How are we going to stop it? Number one, they're talking about $15 an hour. The more people come over the border, the less opportunity we'll have to get to $10 an hour, because the people coming will need jobs and they'll take the smallest pay they can just to have some level of self-sufficiency.
And the poor Border Patrol personnel, oh my God, would you ever want to work the border now? Take the wall down, no control, come in with COVID. Oh my God.
And they're telling them to go to the areas of the fence that haven't been built. They took this new road to get there. Where the wall is, it's like a reminder that somebody was trying to stop them from coming in. So they're going through the parts of the wall now, through a new road that just lets you come in. It's our education system, by the way, Mark, you, Larkin, everybody has to confess to themselves, we have to pay for that. Welfare, it comes somehow.
But Michael, this isn't Michael, this isn't a surprise to you, right?
No, but we had it. We had it to a science.
Going to happen, right?
We had it to a science for a little bit, for a few years.
No, but you knew that what's happening now, since the near octogenarian gerontocrat got elected.
Yes, I did.
You knew this was going to happen. Okay,
I did.
So that's why anyone out there who's shocked about this, my question for that person, Larkin, is what were you paying attention to for the last 4 years? Because if this is news for you, you have then that, not you, Michael, but for rhetorical, for anyone for whom this is news for this person, they must have been
in such an orgasmic engrossment of their pursuits of pleasure the last 4 years that they actually right now are starting to come out of their manufactured reality, Mark, to see how reality actually is. Reality is objective, Mark. The reason America is in decline is because of a growing part of our population that is unable to or unwilling to differentiate and distinguish between manufactured and objective realities. Now, I can pinpoint where that decline started, August 29th, 1969, which was the first day of Woodstock. I can pinpoint it. That's right. This is the first generation in the history of the most powerful, prosperous nation in the history of mankind where getting older doesn't necessarily mean anymore getting wiser. So that's why I need to know. I really need, inquiring minds want to know, Larkin. I really want to know what all those Brooklyn, New York, Biden-voting grandmas and grandpas think about the fact that they might be once again locked down. When I thought that we put the near octogenarian gerontocrat in charge to make the virus go poof. What happened, Mark? What happened? Was I lied to? I mean, the politicians would never lie to us, right, Larkin?
Well, Rich, did you like my idea? You know, the guy brought up to me this morning, so if we left the country, became illegal in Mexico, and then in a month come back, we get a lot more free. What do you, that was a question really designed for you. What do you think?
Got to give him credit for the creativity.
Absolutely.
I got to give him college. Credit. I mean, if he really wants to do it the right way, though, what he needs to do is he needs to get down to Cuba, get on a boogie board, come in the water from Cuba to Miami, all the stupid people in Miami, including the stupid Republicans down there, will all roll the red carpet out for those coming on the boogie board over it. Just fake it. Just drop them like a mile out of the shore of Miami. Get them on the boogie board. You know, create like a fake shark bite, like a shark took a bite out of the boogie board in the back of it and then swim right into Key Biscayne. He'll come in, and we'll treat him like royalty for the rest of his life.
Well,
that's what I tell him.
Well,
well, I it's been an interesting broadcast, and we learned a lot today, but we learned one thing. In my phone calls with various elected officials, I learned a lot, and I put people to call a few of the others. We're discussing the problems of our American workers, of our over-the-border people coming in. When you call an elected person's office, they make you feel that you're the only person that called to have any complaint about it. That's very interesting. And I say, well, I'm calling to give an opinion. You know, we're concerned. We should not allow these people to come to America uninvited because it's just causing, you're the first person that's mentioning that. The majority of the phone calls are all very positive of this issue. They have a way to buff you off. It's just like I mentioned, all these merchandisers coming in. They come in and they convince the American people it's too much of an effort to deal with employees, to deal with rent, to deal with taxes. Let us do it in a foreign country and ship it over to you. And all you do is sell it. You're the middleman. And this is what killed America. And yet we have no person that I can go to. I can't name one person that's I could go to and say, can you come to this rally? Can you come to this program? Can you appear on this television show? Go to CNN and talk about how we're going to get money out to the present day employers of America so that they'll be able to stay here and never be attracted elsewhere. There is no such program like that. It's a lot of talk.
Well, Michael, you know what? Next week, I'm going to ask that question every week. In addition to talking about Biden voting grandmas and grandpas, near octogenarian gerontocrat, and all those New York, New Jersey,
Chicago, California, malignant cells that are going to try to come to Florida to suck the marrow dry out of our fertile field, to fundamentally transform them into Ellingtonian wastelands of spoliated barrenness. I'm also going to ask, what did we buy last week, Maine, America?
Very good. I love it. Rich?
That's what I'm going to ask, week in and week out. What'd you guys buy? Hey, Mark. Well, Mark exempt. Mark, you get an exemption on this.
I have a favorite store, Rich, and I pick on people all the time. I actually pay for my product twice. That's all right. They give me a discount at the counter.
You know, I want to take this opportunity to compliment TV6 in the Philadelphia area, because they've been doing something which I really think is important. They've gone out of their way to encourage our people to support local businesses. And that's really very good. They go out to stores and people manufacturing right here in the USA, people making things, specialty items. They go out to restaurants. They're trying to do something. So I'd like to compliment, and Larkin, you know TV6 very well from living in the area. They do wonderful work. I'm very proud to work with them. And for your information, everybody, this is coming up, National Small Business Weekend. Please go out of your way to support your local businesses and let them know you're a supporter of American Made. Believe it or not, the owners of the businesses can seek out the products that are made in America and replace those with the products made in foreign countries. And I have to tell you, I've done many surveys and I've had many people go out and do surveys. The products made in the USA cost as much, dollar for dollar, maybe a penny, maybe 30, 40, 50 cents cheaper for a foreign product. And yet that foreign product is bringing big money in for some third person provider, but not for American workers. That's the point of what we were discussing today. I want to take this opportunity to wish all of our listeners a great holiday, great Passover, a very nice Easter season. May all of you have the very best. And Larkin, you'll have to tell me how you're enjoying your visit to Greenpoint, New York, a place I know very well. It's interesting.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I know that place very well up there. Did you get to Manhattan Avenue?
Yes.
Beautiful. I love
of
that.
Of course.
Go to Manhattan Avenue and Nassau and McGinnis Boulevard. I know all those places extremely well up there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. I'm going to ask Larkin to give us a few questions that he would like answered during next week's program. When you get it, Ken Larkin, send me a few questions and I'll try to get our good friends from Washington to be on the broadcast. God bless all. Stay well and be happy.
Everyone.